Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Now, let's read together some verses from the New Testament part of the Bible, please. Firstly, in John chapter 10. We're going to read from four different sections in the Bible. So, John chapter 10. It's nice to be with you again this afternoon. Thank you for being here. There's plenty of things you could have been doing today, so let me thank you for taking the time to be with us today in the hall. John chapter 10, verse 30, and the Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says, I and my Father, that's God the Father, I and my Father, we are one. Then the Jewish people who were listening, they were Jews in the audience, this was Israel that the Lord Jesus was located in as he's saying these things. So the folks there, they took up stones again to stone him. They wanted to put him to death. That was the mode of execution that they had in those days. It was pretty barbaric, but they weren't happy with what the Lord Jesus has said when he said, I and my Father are one. And so they said, we're going to put him to death. And Jesus answered them and says, for many good works I have shown you from my Father, for which of those works do you want to stone me? Then the Jewish people answered and said, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man makest thyself God. So here's what they weren't happy with. They weren't happy that Jesus was claiming to be God. They knew that he was a man. That's obvious. You can look at anybody and decide whether they're human or not. You can work out whether something's a dog or a human being. So they knew that the Lord Jesus was a man, but they were disputing the fact that he was claiming to be God. Let's go back the way in the Bible to Luke chapter 15. Verse 1 and 2 we're going to read. And it says, then drew near unto him, that's the Lord Jesus. He was gathering a crowd, people were interested. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes, these were very religious people who lived in these olden days. They murmured, they started moaning between themselves, and they said, this man, that's the Lord Jesus, they're talking about him. They said, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So here, there's a group of people, maybe some of them were the same folks who made the comment that we read in John's Gospel, and they said, look at the state of this man. He's spending time having meals with people who are really bad. They're saying, look, this man, the Lord Jesus, he receives sinful people and he eats with them. And so they weren't happy. Over to Romans chapter 5. And we've got two verses to read there, but they're split apart because there's a section in the middle that's a parenthesis in brackets. So we're going to read verse 12 and then verse 19. So verse 12, Romans chapter 5 says this, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, so that's Adam right at the beginning of time, because of Adam's disobedience, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So that's everybody. Everybody that's ever lived since Adam. Now we are under a condition because of Adam's wrongdoing, his disobedience, and that condition is sin, and it affects us all. Verse 19, it says, for as by one man's disobedience, so that's Adam again, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, this is a different man, so by the obedience of one man, many shall be made righteous. So there's a contrast, there's a comparison between this first man, Adam, and then the Lord Jesus, and how they did something, and the result was that it affected many, many people. We'll come back to that. And then finally, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, and Paul writes and says to his friend Timothy, for there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Now that's the verses I want to read to you. I'll make mention of other verses as we're going along, no doubt, but God always blesses to us his word, the Bible, when we take the time to read it together, and indeed on our own. I want us to think about what our opinion is of Jesus Christ. So we've read some verses. We read four verses there, and actually what the person is thinking or is writing about the Lord Jesus is a little bit different in each of those four sections, those four verses from the Bible. Two of them we've read about was a group of people, and on each of the two occasions, they really didn't have much good to say about the Lord Jesus at all. They thought he was an imposter. They didn't like who he was spending time with, and they weren't interested in him at all, and they said quite disparaging things about him, and some even wanted him to be killed. But then we read in Romans chapter 5 and then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and what we're learning there is that it's the exact opposite, which is the reality. Not that the Lord Jesus is somebody to be disregarded, but rather, because he is the most important person actually who's ever lived, then it's necessary for you and I to think about him and to decide what it is that we believe about him and whether it is actually we're trusting in him. In John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus makes an astounding statement. He says that God, the Father, and I, the Son of God, we are one. We are one and the same. We are God. And the Bible teaches that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, whilst being three individual persons, together they are God. And we read actually in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that there is only one God, but it's these three persons who make one God in unity. And so the Lord Jesus, when he's on this earth and he's spending time with people, on occasions he just dropped in this fact, this statement, that he is God. Now that's important. It's important to realise that the Bible, amongst other things, states on record this fact that Jesus Christ, he is God. He is the Son of God, and this is what the Bible says that we should believe. And you say, well, why is that important? Well, that stands unique in comparison with all the religious systems in our world today. It is only the Bible, it is only the true Christian faith, based on what the Bible says as we read it, that believes and states that Jesus Christ is truly and fully God. Mind you, that's what Jesus said about himself. So you and I, we need to, and it's important that we sit down and think about this, because I've said to you that to my mind, he is the most important person in history, and you need to think about your response and reaction to who he is and what he said. We need to decide whether Jesus was telling the truth or whether he wasn't. So either it is the case that Jesus is God, as he claimed to be, or he was telling lies and therefore we can't trust anything that he says. And yet, every religious belief system in our world falls somewhere in the middle between those two. And so it is the case that those who are Hindu or Jewish or Muslim or Sikhs, and keep going with the list because we'd be here all day listing all the religions of the world, they all fall into this middle ground where they say that Jesus is some sort of teacher or good person, but that he's not God, but he is trustworthy. You can't have it both ways. And in fairness to these people who were listening to Jesus this day, they caught the weight of this. They heard Jesus say, me and God the Father, we are one. He's saying, I am God, and they didn't like it. They knew what he was claiming, and they understood what he was saying about himself, and because they didn't believe him, they said, well, we should just sentence him to death, because blasphemy to claim that your God is punishable by death, as was the case back in the day. And so there were those people in the crowd this day, and they're there on record, as John has recorded it and written it down, as responding to what Jesus said. They hated him, but they understood what he was saying, and he claimed to be God, and they wanted rid of him. You know, we need to decide who he was. You can't sit on the fence on this issue. And so either you should be in the camp with these folks and say that the Lord Jesus was some sort of liar who was claiming things about himself that weren't true. And if that's what you decide, then you should just discount his life completely. Or you should come to the point to realize that he was telling the truth. And you should believe in him and trust in him, for he is God. And therefore everything that he says is true because God cannot lie. And yet most people, and maybe you're one of these, you just sit on the fence and you're not too sure either way. And so you take the default position that the Lord Jesus did good things, helped lots of people, and so he's somebody who we should try and live up to the example of. I'm not sure that middle ground is allowed. You see, the remarkable thing was not really that the Lord Jesus was a man claiming to be God, which was true about him. The miraculous thing is this, that he was God who became a man. You know, there came a point in time in the history of this world where it says that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. And elsewhere the Lord Jesus says about himself that he came into the world to seek and to save people who were lost. And so, if our calendars to be believed, it was AD 0, you know, before Christ and Anno Domini, after Christ, there was a point in time where the Lord Jesus came from heaven and God became man with the very purpose to bring about a resolution to sin. We read about it in John, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, that the Lord Jesus, he is God, but he became a man so that this barrier, this gulf between us could be resolved between us and God. The only person that could resolve that problem of sin and this gulf which came about because of a wrongdoing was the Lord Jesus, who is God, who became man, and therefore he could resolve the issue on both sides. When we came to Luke chapter 15, it's not so much that they were annoyed because the Lord Jesus was claiming to be God, but they were annoyed with the company that he kept. And so they start to laugh at the Lord Jesus. And they say, look at this man. Essentially, to bring it into our modern day language, they're saying, look at this fella. Look at this fellow. Look at this person. Look at what he's doing. And they couldn't get a grasp in their minds how it could be the case that the Lord Jesus would spend time with folks who in their mind weren't deserving of anyone's time. Here's people who were rebels against Israel, they were tax collectors, they were folks who were siding with the Roman Empire, and so the mainstream view at the time amongst the folks in the different communities in Israel was that these folks were traitors, and you shouldn't spend any time with folks like that. But also, not only was the Lord Jesus spending time with people who were stated to be traitors back in the day, but folks who were involved in all sorts of public sin. They were up to no good. He was spending time with people who were known in the community as being delinquents and people who were involved in wicked things and evil. And so they say, look at this man. And they hated him. Mind you, as much as the Lord Jesus was hated in these days by these folks, he's still hated today by different people in a different generation. And you only have to spend a bit of time wherever you work or wherever you go to school or just go down the street here in Dunfermline and you'll hear people using the name of God and the name of the Lord Jesus not in a positive way at all but as a substitute for swearing. And it is generally the case nowadays that the Lord Jesus and God, as he states himself to be in the record of the Bible, is opposed and hated. And despised. You know, it's interesting. One of the remarkable things about the Lord Jesus, which made him stand out in distinction, in difference to everybody else at the time, was he treated everybody the same. He understood completely that different personalities were in play, and he knew that some folk were more bad than others. It wasn't that the Lord Jesus was blind to the facts. It wasn't that he lived a life in a naive way, as some people do. He understood completely, more than anybody, what people were like. He knew their heart. He knew their thoughts. And so he was well in knowledge, more than anybody else ever in history, and yet he treated everybody the same. You know, that's something which is revered nowadays, treating people with equality and not reacting to people in a way which is peculiar because of what they think and how they live. You know, that's held up in esteem as being something that's important and something that you should try to copy. And if you're in employment, you'll probably be sent on training to help you think that way. And there's lots of that which is very good. We should treat people in an equal way. You know, the Bible treats everybody the same. God says concerning all of us that there's no difference, that all have sinned and come short of his glory. In fact, more than that, in Galatians it tells us that God sets everybody deliberately at the same level so that he can then move out and save freely and equally in a just manner. And so maybe you think to yourself, well, you know, who is God and what has he ever done for me and what is his opinion of me? The fact of the matter is, God thinks of everybody in the same way. He recognizes that we are wicked people who can't help ourselves, who can't do enough good to please him. And knowing that, he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to resolve the problem completely. You know, I'm glad that the Lord Jesus is someone who receives sinners. You know, there's just different statements in the Bible at times where people say something and they mean it in this way, but actually you can take a different interpretation of it. And they were saying about Jesus, look, he's spending time with sinful folks, and they were trying to laugh at him and mock him. But nevertheless, the statement is true in a different angle, that Jesus receives sinners. You know, God is interested in us being received by him into heaven, ultimately, at the end of time, on the basis of the fact that we can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus. So maybe you're the sort of person and you think to yourself, well, I'm not deserving of any of the good things that the Bible describes. I'm not really deserving of having a relationship with God or having eternal life. We're living in a period of time just now where people can feel very despondent and very low about themselves. Low self-esteem seems to be very prevalent today. And I can understand why, because of the way that society works. But listen and know this, that we have a God in heaven who sees us all on an equal level, and he wants to move and to bless each of us by giving us eternal life, by giving us forgiveness from our sins, the wrongdoing that we've done. And God is truly not a respecter of persons, it says elsewhere in the scriptures. He wants to move and to bless us no matter who we are and where we're from. There's no message like this anywhere else in the world. We mentioned earlier that the Bible is unique in stating that Jesus Christ is God. It's also unique in this regard, that the Bible says we can't help ourselves, but God's got the solution for all of us. That is, by faith in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. You see, how did God work out this solution to the whole problem? Well, it's because of these two men. God knew in advance, mind you, but God realized that Adam's disobedience would have impact on the whole of humanity. And it was true enough that as by one man's disobeying God, this disease was inherited by all of us and all have sinned. And so that's why, you know, the Bible has the answer to this. Why is it that people try their best, but we never get to a level of living and good living at that, which is where we want to be? Well, the Bible tells us the answer. We just can't try and be good enough because of the reflex nature within us, which just constantly diverges us and moves us towards doing things that are wrong. And so you and I will think things and say things that really we don't intend to, but it's almost like we get ahead of ourselves. The Bible tells us why that is the case. It's because the natural instinct within us is to do wrong. Well, like a bowls ball, not a bowling ball, that's the one with the three holes, but a bowls ball trying to get to the white jack at the end. I've never played it, but I know all these details about it. And you roll it, and it, no matter how you try and keep it straight, it's just going to go to the side because it's weighted. It's always going to curve. It can never go straight. Well, you and I, as much as we try and live our lives in a straight line, doing good and good and good, we'll frequently do things that are wrong. despite our best efforts. Only the Bible tells us the reason for that. It's because our nature, our instinctive attributes within us at times cause us to do things that are wrong despite the fact we don't intend to. Well, one man has caused this whole disease to impact the whole of humanity, Adam's wrongdoing right at the beginning of time. Well, in the centre of time, the Lord Jesus came. It says in this chapter that we read earlier on, when the time came, when the time was right, when the moment was just at the right point, Christ died for our sins. And through his one act of obedience, that's what the letter here is getting at, through the Lord Jesus doing one good act of obedience when he died on the cross and he voluntarily became dead, he was bringing about a fix to this problem of sin. And so it's possible that whilst Adam has resulted in all of us being destroyed through sin, actually we can be rescued and we can be made right with God. We can become righteous, to use the word here, because of what the Lord Jesus has done. What's your opinion about the Lord Jesus? Do you think he's just a man? That was the first verse we read. Or do you think, well, he's just this man? You know, I've not really got much time for him, and actually I can understand why people laugh at him. No, these two views are not acceptable. We need to come to the point where we understand that he is so important, that he's the one man who came into this world to fix the problem of sin through his death on the cross. But actually, in some ways, it'd be a bit better if we got to the point where Paul got to in his first letter to Timothy, where he says this, that the Lord Jesus is the man. He's the most important man. He stands as completely unique. He stands as being the necessary one for salvation. And you say, well, how is that important? Well, it says in verse 6 that we read together that the Lord Jesus, he gave himself a ransom on behalf of everyone. Have you ever thought about why the Lord Jesus died on the cross? He wasn't guilty of any of the charges that were placed upon him. His judge declared him as being innocent. And he had the power and the authority, he's God. He could have just walked away from it all, and nobody would have known any different, and it would have been impotent to try and fix him walking away or stopping him. Ultimately, the Lord Jesus, he went to the cross and he died on the cross because it was God's plan that we could have peace with him through what the Lord Jesus did there that day. And it tells us here in this verse that he was there and he was paying a ransom price. Now, we know what that means. A ransom at times is a price paid so that somebody who's being held captive can be released and be freed and enjoy the fullness of liberty. That's what Jesus was doing on the cross. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, to save sinners. And he paid a price on the cross when he died and he shed his blood in order that you and I could be set free from the penalty of sin. I wonder, has that ever happened in your life? Have you ever come to a moment in your life where you understood, actually, see what the Bible says about me, it's true, that I have done wrong and I am guilty and I am included in this group of people that the Bible describes as being sinners? And have you ever come to understand that God is someone to be feared because he must judge sin? And if it is that your life comes to an end, which could be a lot closer than you think, if it is that your life comes to an end, and you've not got this debt with God cancelled, all the wrongdoing that you've done throughout your life, if it is that you've not got that debt resolved, then you're going to face God as judge. The scriptures tell us that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Maybe you have thought about these things. And maybe you're wondering about it just now and you think to yourself, well, how do I get this problem fixed? How can I get myself to a position where I'm ready to meet God? Well, we can be prepared for it. We could trust in the Lord Jesus. And it tells us, as we've read together, that the Lord Jesus, that he paid a ransom price on behalf of us all. That's you and I. That so if we trust in him, we can then say, well, the Son of God loved me and he gave himself for me. If we believe in him And if we're depending on the Lord Jesus for now and for the future, then we have peace with God through him. We have forgiveness from all our wrongdoing, and we can know that our life continues forever, even after the point that we die here on this earth, because he will receive us to be with him in heaven. I wonder what he means to you. Is he just a man, or is he the most important man that's ever lived? The man who came to resolve the issue of sin, in whom we have to trust in order to be right with God. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.